Good morning. If you want to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, we'll read a few verses there in just a moment. Matthew, chapter 9. As you're turning there, I'd like to just say what's already been said a few times, but welcome to everybody. We're just so thankful that you all could be here. We're thankful that each one of our members is here, but we're also thankful we have so many visitors. We hope that you can be encouraged by us as much as we are by you. We're just so thankful for everyone's presence here, and we're thankful for the worship service so far. Just wanted to make mention, it's in your bulletin, on the front of your bulletin, but new classes will start tonight, and we're doing something different with the middle school and high school ages this time around. The middle school and high school, they will combine together, but we're going to separate the boys and girls. And so middle school boys and girls, you will be stepping up in the world. But we're going to separate, and we're each going to talk about the ways we can serve this congregation. We can serve the Lord. Men specifically, we'll talk about how we could serve publicly in worship. And so if you are even a little older than the high school and middle school age, and you're a male that wants to learn how to publicly serve, we welcome you to that class as well. We'll go over many, many things. But we want to keep that in mind for the young men and women. And then we also have two adult classes, and those are in the front of your bulletin. And we invite you, if you haven't been attending classes, now would be the time to do so, since we're starting fresh, and you can come be encouraged by the congregation and by each other and by the classes that are offered. So we want to just remember that as we go into tonight. You know, this is a sign that we used to see it a lot in our country, but maybe not so much anymore. And it will come up here eventually, and they'll get it going. But this sign would appear in windows of shops, and online ads, and even word of mouth. It's a phrase that has kind of fallen by the wayside during these economic hardships because there are less and less jobs and more people wanting to fill them. Well, what if I were to tell you that there's a position available to you right now? You need no prior experience. There's no schooling required. There's no degree that you need. However, there's a few things that you need to know about this job. You will have no benefits. You won't be paid at all. You don't get any sick days. You don't get any vacation days. There's a lot of work to do, and once you feel like you're almost done with your work, some more will just kind of be tacked on and piled on. There's no retirement. You will most likely work until the day you die. A lot of people who start this job end up loving it until maybe a couple months into it, then they realize it's hard work and they don't like it anymore. So a lot of people will just kind of let other people do the work, or a lot of people may even just quit. But if you want this job, it's yours. Now, if you saw that in the Help Wanted ads, or if you saw one of these signs hanging in a local business, and that's how they describe the job to you, how many of you would take that job? Probably not many of us. But what I just described to you is the job of being a Christian. Where we all have a job, it's all open to us. We wouldn't be here today if we didn't accept the job. Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. He says, you are the salt, you are the light. That means there is a job to be done, and we have the responsibility to do it. But we don't have any off days of being a Christian. We don't get to just check out for the night or check out for the day. We have to be a Christian every single day, every single minute of our lives. We don't have any prerequisite courses. There's no degree to become a Christian in doing the work of the Lord. The work never stops. There's so much work to do that sometimes it becomes overbearing. A lot of people start out loving it. They get baptized, and they are just so excited and zealous for the work of the Lord, but they find it to be a difficult job, and so often people just fall away. You know, the past several months, really this past year, we've been looking at the theme of rise and build. And we have looked at so many different topics, but last month what we did was we looked at the idea of building a kingdom. And what we did was we looked at what King David did to build his kingdom into a successful kingdom that followed God's will before it was turned over to his son, Solomon. This morning I want to start a two-part series in what it takes to build the Lord's kingdom today. And not just what it takes to build the Lord's kingdom today, but we want to even go deeper than that. What it takes to build the church that you and I are sitting in right here today. What does it take to build a successful church? What does it take to build a successful kingdom? How do we get Marion Street to the next level? How do we get God's kingdom to the next level? That's some things we want to look at. And I wonder if Jesus hung a help wanted sign in the window of this church, how many people would answer the call? You know, he didn't hang a sign, but he almost just put it out there in the story we're going to read this morning. And it's almost as we read this story in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is saying, I need some help. Who is going to step up? And that's where we want to start this morning. Let's start reading in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus comes across these villages and these cities quite often. And as you read through the four Gospels, he's going from city to city. He's going from village to village, town to town. And it seems like whenever people hear that Jesus is there, the flocks come. The people come. They want to be healed. They want to hear the gospel. And so it says that Jesus was teaching in their synagogues. He's preaching to them the gospel of the kingdom. He's healing sickness. And he's healing every disease among the people. But he notices something in verse 36. It says, as he saw the people, as he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And when he looked out at the world and he saw all the sinners, he saw the sick, he saw the people that needed help, he came to a realization that the world needs Christian leaders. The world needs leaders to step up. The world needs leaders that are looking out at the world and seeing that there are things that need to be done. And we're going to get the PowerPoint under control. It just went down. So we're going no PowerPoint today. So follow along in your Bibles and you can fill in the blanks. I'll try to go as best as you can. And we'll just blame the two Jareds in the back for the... No, I'm kidding. But what Jesus saw as he's going from city to city is Jesus saw that the world needs Christian leaders. Notice again what he says, that they were like sheep wandering around, that they were weary and they were scattered. You know, it almost seems like everyone was doing their own thing. There was no regard for God. They had no sense of direction. They had no sense of where they were headed. They had no purpose in this life. The Beatles sang a song that said, he's a real nowhere man living in a nowhere land. And that's almost the idea I see that Jesus had with these people. They were just scattered sheep. They were lost. They were weary, he says, that as he came across these people. They were weary and they were scattered. You think about all these people that had to go through these troubles, all these sicknesses and all these diseases. They had hard economic times just like we have today. They were sick, they were weary, they were distraught. They were burdened with sins just like you and I are burdened with sin. They were burdened with sins that weigh heavy on their heart. And there are so many people that might be here this morning, or so many people in the world today that have sin on their heart, and it causes them to be weary, or it causes them to be depressed. And sometimes people in this world, even today, are just wandering around looking for the answer, looking for some sort of comfort, looking for some sort of relief. They're looking for a second chance. And Jesus notices this about these people, that they are weary and they are scattered. They have no shepherd. They have no sense of direction. In Matthew 11, just a few chapters later, in verses 28 through 30, he would say this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus wanted to give rest to these weary people. Jesus wanted to heal their sick. He wanted to give rest to them. He wanted to unify them together because they were all so scattered. There was no unity. There was no love. There was no camaraderie. Have you ever seen a little ant pile? My brothers and I, we were cruel to bugs and stuff growing up. And I'll never forget, there was an ant pile in our front yard one time, and we thought it would be interesting to see what would happen if we start dumping water on it. And boy, these ants, they are just walking in a straight line, and everyone's, you know, they're just following the leader almost. You pour a little water on it, boy, they start scattering all over the place, don't they? That's almost what the world has become. Where we just are scattered. Jesus saw that the world was scattered. There was no leader. There was no unity. There was no sense of purpose. It's like a frenzy. The world is still like this. And sadly, what happens is the Lord's church even becomes like this. Where there's no sense of purpose. There's no sense of unity. There are millions and millions of people who are waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are millions and millions of people in this world. There might even be people in these pews that are waiting to be told more about Jesus, that need to grow spiritually, that need leadership, that need godly leadership in their lives. And the world needs that now more than ever. And Jesus understood, and as he's speaking to his disciples here, he is showing them that the world needs godly leaders. But he says something sobering in verse 37. Listen to what he says as he notices this idea, as he sees his sheep without a shepherd. He sees them scattered. He sees them weary. As he was moved with compassion for them. In verse 37, it says that he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Now, without saying it, what he did was he just posted a help wanted sign. He says, "There is work to be done. The harvest is plentiful, but it's the laborers who are few." In Luke chapter 10 and in verse 2, he echoes this same idea when he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And notice what he says in the book of John chapter 4 and verse 35. Turn with me there, John chapter 4 and verse 35. He says there, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." All throughout the New Testament, all throughout Jesus' ministry, he's just posting up help wanted signs. He's saying there is so much work to be done. The harvest is ready. The harvest is white. It's plentiful. But it's the laborers that we need. We need help. We need people to step up. In fact, what he says in John chapter 4 and verse 35, I love what he says. He says, "Just lift up your eyes and see." He's almost pleading with the people. If you were to just look at the work that needs to be done, can you imagine how many people might come to the realization that maybe I need to step up, maybe I need to get to work? Just lift up your eyes and see. Now, I can't speak for any of you, but for myself, sometimes I like the work to be done for me. Sometimes I look out at everything that has to be done, and sometimes I look out at all these things that can be done in the kingdom of the Lord, and the easiest thing to do is to say, well, someone else is already doing that, or someone else could do that, or someone else should do that. And what I rarely say is, well, maybe I can do that. Maybe if I just lift up my eyes and see what needs to be done, maybe I can do that. It's like the story of the mother hen who wanted to make some bread. She wanted to grow the wheat. She wanted to harvest the wheat. She wanted to make the wheat into flour. She wanted to make the flour into bread. And the whole time she's working, nobody wanted to help her. I'm not going to go through the whole story because I think most of you know that. But no one wanted to help her. "Not I," said the dog. "Not I," said the cat. "Not, you know. Well, who's going to help me eat the bread?" "Well, I will. I will." And I think so many times that's how I am spiritually, where I want the end result, I want heaven to be there, and I want people to be there in heaven with me. I mean, we say that all the time. I wish all of you were in heaven with me. I can't wait to see all of you in heaven. But when I truly take a step back and lift up my eyes and look at the work, sometimes I have to say, well, what am I doing to get these people to heaven? What am I doing to get myself to heaven? What am I doing to take the next step spiritually? And so on and so on. And you can take that with everything. What are we doing to make this church better? To get this church to heaven? Do I have a part in getting this church to heaven? Getting the people here to heaven? And what can I do to make that happen? But see, so often what we say, and this is not a woe is me as a preacher, but this is what people will say, and I said it all the time. That's the preacher's job. That's the elder's job. That's why we have elders. That's why we have deacons. That's why we pay a preacher. Because their job is to get us all to heaven. And I can come and just sit and they're just shepherd us. Just do your thing, preacher. Do your thing, elders. Do your thing, deacons. What Jesus is saying is there's so much work that needs to be done. The harvest is ready. The harvest is plentiful. Lift up your eyes. He's almost saying, I just need some help. We all want the results, but very few want to do the work. But let me just say, the work has been done for us. I highly doubt any of us will ever be asked to be beaten, to be mocked, and to be ridiculed. I highly doubt any of us will ever be asked to, after we've been beaten, take up a cross and carry it on our backs. And I highly doubt that once we get outside of the city of Athens with our cross, that someone will nail me to that cross and hang me up for everyone to watch, for everyone to continue to mock and to ridicule. I highly doubt any of us will ever die for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's just how it is. Now, maybe some of you, I don't know, I can't tell the future. But when we really look at it, and Jesus is saying, I need some help here because the harvest is plentiful, it's the laborers who are few. He's saying, I'm willing to put in the work. And he put his money where his mouth is, so to speak, because he took his cross and he was killed so that you and I can have eternal life. He went through the pain and the torture and the hurt. He did the work. Now it's up to you and I, as Jesus would say, to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. That's not literally, but it's time for us to lift up our eyes and get to work. It's time for us to look at the world that is scattered and weary, like sheep having no shepherd. And it's time to teach them about the true shepherd, that is Jesus Christ. Because as Jesus says, the harvest is ready. And it's not up to you and I to decide who's ready to hear the gospel and who's not, or what work needs to be done and what doesn't. It's just up to you and I to get the work done. And what Jesus says in the later part of 37 and verse 38, he says the laborers are few, but look at again what he says in verse 38. He says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. In other words, I can just see Jesus speaking to his disciples and saying, we need more people. So pray to God that more people will come because we need it. We need the help. And that's the third point this morning. Jesus needs help. The responsibility, and that's what I hope that we get from this morning, the responsibility, the privilege is on us to be the driving force behind the gospel. And when Jesus says that there's not enough laborers to take care of the harvest, it leads me to ask the question, well, why not? Why aren't there enough laborers? Because I look at this congregation and I see almost 130, 140, 50, 60, I don't know how many here today. I see how many laborers here today. And we can drive through Athens and here's a church, here's a church, here's a church, here's a church. There's laborers. You can look at the world. There's churches all over the place, laborers. But how come so few will answer the call to help Jesus? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Why aren't there enough laborers? Because churches are full all across this country, but yet still so few will answer the call to help Jesus. Not answer the call to be baptized, not answer the call to give your life to Christ, but answer the call to lift up their eyes and to help Jesus in the harvest of this world. We can't say there's not enough Christians. We can't say that there's too many non-Christians. If I'm being completely honest, I think it's because Christians have gotten lazy. There's not enough people who are willing to put egos aside so that we can simply teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are too many people who will let other people do the work because they have a fear of hearing no. There are too many people who will let other people do the work because they say, well, I just don't know enough. Or I don't know what to say. Or let's just, not even in regards to teaching people about Christ, but let's look at a congregation. There are too many people not stepping up and doing work because they say, well, I don't like what's being taught, so I'm not going to teach. I taught last year, I'm not going to teach this year. I taught once already this year, I'm not going to teach again this year. Someone else is already in charge of that, so I'm just gonna leave it alone. Instead of lifting our eyes and saying, what can I do? What can I do to not only make the kingdom of God stronger and better to teach other people about Jesus, but what can I do to make Marion Street the best church it can possibly be? Because we look out, and not only in the field of harvest of Christians outside of this church the harvest is ready, but the harvest is ready right here in these pews and right here in this building. But we have to be willing to step up and do the work. And I wonder if Jesus were here today, if he would look at us and say, the harvest is plentiful, but where are my workers? Where are the workers? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you want to turn with me over there. I want you to notice something about this verse. That as Paul is talking to the Corinthian church here, as we know the verses prior to verse 9, where in verse 6 it says that I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, so that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. But listen to verse 9. He says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. I wonder how many of us take that to heart. Because here's what we focus on. We focus on verse 6 and we say, it's not I that gives the increase, that's God. God gives the increase. But what we need to see is, in order for God to give the increase, work needs to be done on our part. And Paul acknowledges that. He says, I planted, Apollos watered. He's not saying, oh, we didn't do anything, that was all God. He's saying, no, we worked. But God blessed our work. And he takes it a step farther to not only say we worked, he says, we are working with God. What does he say in verse 9 again? We are God's fellow workers. We're co-workers with God. We are God's field. We are his building. That God needs us. God needs us to work. God needs us to water. God needs us to plant. And without planting, without watering, God can't give the increase. But we're so hesitant because we just want God to give the increase. We want the end result, but we don't want to do the work to get there. How many of you have ever started a diet because you want to be skinnier, but before you get there, the work was too hard? Or how many of you have had financial goals because you want to be successful financially, or you want to be able to retire, but we're not willing to do the work to get there? Or fill in the blank. We want the end result. We want God to give the increase. We pray and talk all the time, and I know the elders and I talk about it in our meetings. We want this church to be the best it can be. It's not going to get there if Everybody doesn't do the work. God wants His kingdom to be the best it can be. Not just here at Marion Street, not just in Athens, but all over the world. He wants His kingdom to be the best it can be. He wants everyone to come to Him and live eternally with Him. But that's not going to happen if we don't do the work. That's what Jesus is saying. As He looks out across the harvest, He says, the harvest is ready. It's just now time for the laborers to get to work. It's now time for us to help. And so I want to ask us this question. Where's our motivation? There are precious souls at stake, and God is counting on you and I to be workers in His kingdom. You know, my dad always said, when you find a job, you give it your best. He says, I don't care what you do. I don't care if, you know, there was a while I wanted to be a police officer. There was a while I wanted to, I always wanted to be a professional baseball player. I still think I can do that someday. No, I'm kidding. You know, there's so many things I wanted to be. My dad said, I don't really care what you do. Just you make sure to give it your best. And I remember when I was young and I was looking for a job, and I was about 15, 16 years old. I'm looking for my first job. I wanted to do something cool. You know, I wanted to do something that I thought was cool. Well, I couldn't find anything. So I found a job at a place called Hot Dog on a Stick. And some of you who are laughing probably know exactly what that place is. They're the ones that wear the silly striped uniforms and the striped hats, and they make corn dogs. Well, not corn dogs, because corn dogs are frozen. Hot dogs on a stick are fresh. And we make lemonade and all that. And I worked in a mall, and I did that for 3 years. And boy, I mean, when I first got that job, I was so embarrassed that I was going to be the guy wearing the striped shirts, bright red, blue, yellow, white. My friends are going to walk through the mall. They're going to see me. Man, how embarrassing. My dad said, you know, he says, I don't care. Because I came home, I got a job, but it's not what I wanted. He goes, I don't care if it's what you wanted. He says, the point is, you found a job. Now you're going to go give it your best. And you know what? I ended up loving that job. I stayed there 3.5 years. I went back when I got home from college for Christmas and for summer, and I would work there. My dad, that's what my parents always taught me, that if there's responsibility given to you, give your best. Doesn't matter if you don't like what's going on. It doesn't matter if you don't agree with what's going on. If you have responsibility, give it your best. Work hard, because someone is counting on you. Jesus is counting on us. He has given us responsibility. He has given us a job to do, that is, grow His kingdom. The gospel of Jesus is depending on the laborers that are sitting here in this very room. There's a phrase that goes something along, there's many different versions. But he who has much responsibility, much is expected. We have the responsibility, and God expects us to get to work. And you know, we live in a world today where the church needs leaders. The world needs godly leaders. The church needs people who will step up for the cause of the gospel. We need Bible class teachers. We need shepherds. We need elders. We need deacons. We need everybody, not just in this church, but every Christian all over, to realize the precious value of the souls that are sitting in these pews, and that are out in the world not obeying the gospel of Christ. I look at all the children. We say all the time, we are so blessed with children in this congregation. Do we understand the value of their souls? Are we willing to put the effort into teaching those souls? You look at every member of this congregation, they're precious to Jesus. They should be precious to every single one here. Are we putting the value on each soul here that Jesus puts on? And we live in a world today where people will jump at the opportunity of good work. That you rarely see help wanted signs, because there are so many people looking for jobs that as soon as a sign is put up, there are people ready to take it. But I have a feeling if God put up a help wanted sign, it might stay up for a while. And I think that there are so many people out risking their lives for this country. They're out risking their lives for people they don't even know. Our police officers, our firefighters, our servicemen and women. They risk their lives every day for people they don't even know. Jesus risked His life. He gave His life for each one of us. And how many of us are willing to risk everything so that we can give other people the hope of eternal life in heaven with Jesus and with our Father? The question is, what are we going to do to help in the harvest? I want you to consider a few things as we close this morning. If this was a job, all of us have jobs, most of us have jobs. If this was a job that you got paid to do, how many of you would give it your all? Well, we all go to work. We all have responsibilities at work. We all have things that are expected of us. And if you're a good worker, I shouldn't say all of us will do this, but if you're a good worker, you'll make sure your responsibilities are met and they get done. And they get done in a timely fashion. And there are many of you at your jobs that are expected of big things, and some of you have little things, but without those little things, the big things can't happen. And the same is true in the church. And there are many people who have jobs that you're expected to train other people at your job. And the same is true of this church. When you look at this church, there are a lot of jobs that need to be done. When you look at the kingdom of God, there are a lot of jobs that need to be done. So on the back of your bulletin, I put three questions. And these are just meant to get us all thinking. To get each one of us. It doesn't matter if you're 9, doesn't matter if you're 99. Doesn't matter if you have a current job, doesn't matter if you're retired, doesn't matter if you have kids, don't have kids, married, not married, doesn't matter. I want us all to look at these three questions. The first question is, what specific talents do I have that make me special? We all have something that makes us special. We have something that we're good at, something we can do. The next two questions are, with those talents, how can I use my talents to help the Lord's church? What can I do with my talents to go out into the harvest, to start working and being a laborer for God's kingdom? And more specifically, with my talents, what can I do at this church? What can I do to help further this church? You know, we just had Roger Schaus last weekend talk to us about biblical shepherding, how we can support our biblical roles. When he talked to the elders, we all met on Saturday for several hours, and when he talked to the elders and I, he said, what most congregations don't do but need to do is just open their eyes. And he says, when they open their eyes, because a lot of good things can happen. And so what we did, we came up to our auditorium. And we just opened our eyes. We just started looking. Is this a welcoming place? We started thinking about our worship service. And we opened our eyes to our worship service. Are we friendly to visitors? Do we greet our visitors? Do we have people saying hello? Do we have people welcoming people? Is our worship service the best it could be? And what we started asking is, how can we be better? And what can we do to make ourselves better? That's what I want us to all ask ourselves this morning. Jesus said, the harvest is ready. Lift up your eyes. It's time to open our eyes. It's time to see the work that needs to be done, not just here at Marion Street, but in the kingdom of God. And it's time to see what I can do to help this church, to help the Lord's kingdom be the best it can possibly be. We need shepherds. We need deacons. We need members. We need Bible class teachers. There is so much work that needs to be done, and it depends on us right here in this room. And I'm excited at where Marion Street could be. I'm excited where it is, but I'm excited to go further. I know our elders are. I know our deacons are. And I hope all of us are. But it's time to ask ourselves, what can I do for the Lord? The harvest is plentiful. It's the laborers who are few. If we can help you in any way this morning, the first step you can take is giving your life to Christ by being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, so that you can start being a worker in His kingdom. And maybe you are here and you've decided that your life has not been in service to the Lord. You are one of the ones that when Jesus says the laborers are few, well, maybe you're one of the laborers that has taken a break for a while. Well, it's time to check back in, clock back in. Let's all get to work. Let's all make the kingdom of God the best it can possibly be. If we can help you in any way, come forward as we stand and as we sing.